Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless the word to our hearts as we go through these different scriptures right here. Father, thank you for the way that you have brought to us the word of God, which is the word of God. It's from you, and I praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for in bringing about the thing that Apostle Paul and many of the other prophets and disciples of Jesus that brought forth these words so that we could hear them, we can study them and learn what you want from us, Father. And we praise you this day. I ask you to bless this word to everyone here today, Father God. Just give us what you would have us to have, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In this chapter 4, Apostle Paul calls on two different people from the Old Testament to witness what he is saying in this text. This is interesting. The first one is Abraham, and the second one, I believe, is David. Yes, it's David, King David. My son's name is David. I hope my son is as yielded to God as King David was. But anyway, praise the Lord. What in verse 1 we're going to begin reading, that God will just bless this to our hearts. So, he calls these two characters from the Old Testament to witness what he's saying here. And he says in verse 1, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found?" Now, we know that Apostle Paul was what he was called later. When he was Saul, he was a Jew. He's a Jew. He still is a Jew. That's what he was, wasn't he, in himself. And so he knew all of the things from the Old Testament. But when he came to know the Lord God, Lord Jesus, as his Savior, he realized what Christ had, what Jesus was supposed to represent, more than he did in the Old Testament. Remember, we read earlier when we were first studying Romans about how Paul persecuted the Christians. He was there when they stoned Stephen to death in chapter 7 of the book of Acts. And in chapter 8, he went out hunting for Christians, and the Lord slew him. In the 9th chapter of Acts, the Lord just knocked him down and made him know who God was, who God was talking to. And that's how he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Later on, was blinded by that light that the Lord shined on him. He had to go into Damascus, and there a man of God, God brought a man of God there to that place to witness to the Apostle Paul. He was not Apostle Paul then, he was Saul. So what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Abraham, if you'll read that in the Old Testament, you'll be greatly blessed. If you will start reading in Genesis 11:31 and go to about 25:7, chapter 25 to 7, it's just precious things that God did for Abraham. And you know what? He loves us too. He will do wonderful things for us if we let him do it. Now notice it says, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." The book of Romans is dealing with our salvation being by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and all the things that God does for us all the time in our life as a Christian. God is always right there. Jesus is working all the time in our lives. And Abraham was a man that really had faith in God. And that's what the Lord wants us to have, is that kind of faith that we are putting him first in our lives. We are walking with him. We're yielding our life to him. And the Lord just loves that. That's just wonderful with the Lord. Notice this word. It says, if Abraham were justified. That word is used a lot in the book of Romans. And you might think, well, what they're talking about, you know? What is he justified at? He's justified at being a sinner. He's justified at being a bum. What is he? No, he is justified. It means to make righteous. In the Greek, that's what that means. How did Abraham become righteous before God? It was by faith. He believed in God. When God started speaking to him, If you read in the Genesis, you'll find out all the things about Abraham, how that he was from a far country, how his father was not a believer in God, and his brother was there. And as Abraham moved out into Israel, taking his people with him, God began to really deal with him, and he received the Lord by faith. And that's what it says here. For if Abraham were justified by works, see, there are people today that think, now we said a justified again, making righteous. You become righteous when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He causes us to be born again. Does that sound good to you? That is what the Lord said himself, that you must be born again. See, we were born of the natural, but when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are born in the spiritual sense. We have become the children of God, the children of God. So that's what this is speaking of. Abraham were justified, for if he was justified by works, then we have to talk about works. Because a lot of people think, if I'm good enough, if I keep on being really good, God's going to really bless me. But he does want us to yield our lives to him and walk in with the Lord and yield our lives and be in the Spirit of God. But to try to do it in your own self by works, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. Work doesn't work. It has to be giving your life to the Lord, asking him to be your Savior and your helper and everything, and let him govern your life. That's what it means. It says, if that's the only thing he's doing, is just trying to work for something, and he asks, we're off to glory, but it's not before God. So, okay, let's think about that. If a person does not really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and expect him to make that person a child of God, that's thinking of, I'm going to get better. I'm going to do really good. God's going to have to accept me, see? And that's what he says. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He was not just, that's verse 3. He was not made righteous by his own works. And that's a big mistake a lot of people have in Christendom today, is if we do enough good things for God, then he has to accept us. Why did Jesus die? If that's the whole thing. I mean, God could have just said, okay, all y'all down there, be really good now. Instead, he sent his son to die for us. And that's the only way that we're good, is by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so it says, he hath whereof to glory. Yes, people that think that they're saved by their own good works, they might go around bragging and saying, you know, well, look at me. I'm really, you know, doing the right things in my life. I'm going by all the rules. And so that means God's going to accept me. It does not mean that, because the Lord plainly tells us he wants us to believe in the Son of God as our Savior and let him come into our life so that we can be born again. Verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? See, that's the whole thing. You don't go by your own feelings. You go by what the Word of God says. Okay? And so Paul is saying that. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's found in Genesis 15:6, where Abraham believed God. He had faith in God, and God gave him a son, didn't he? Gave him two sons, but the main one that counted was Isaac, that God gave him in his old age. And he was trusting in God. He believed in God. And notice, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Who did the counting? Was it Abraham saying, now look, I'm really, we're really great now. I've accepted God as my Lord. I believed in him. So that means that from now on, I'm righteous. No, we can't become righteous in ourselves. There is no way. That's what a lot of people try to do, like I just said. They will try to follow patterns that people give them. They'll try to follow the law or something and say, okay, now God must love me. It doesn't work that way. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it says believe God, but God is the one. God the Father is the one that sent his only begotten Son to provide us a salvation. That's why it's so important for us to believe God. And when Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. What does righteousness mean? It means actually right standing before God. That's what the word means. Right standing before God. Do you have right standing before God? Does he look down at you and say, this person is my child. This person has been born again, has received salvation, and this person is really a person that I'm going to bless them with my righteousness because they believe in me. And we have a right standing then before God. That standing comes through faith, not through any kind of works. As the scripture says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. That's Titus, the 3rd chapter, I think about 6. So it's so important to have faith. Praise the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10, 11, or 17, pardon me, 10, 17. So how do you get faith? You might say to yourself, well, I don't have any faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, reading it for yourself and reading what God is going to do and what he will do in the future for you, and also by hearing people, someone preach that preaches the word of God and explains things so that you understand what God's word is saying to us. So, to him that worketh, in verse 4, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now, what does that mean? Worketh. Isn't it nice to work for God? I mean, doesn't God want us to work for him? Well, not in this way. Because a lot of people think if they do enough good things, if they work enough good things, God has to accept them. And that is not the fact. As this verse says, now, to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace. Now, we have this word grace. Grace means something for nothing to the undeserving, is one of the meanings. God gave his Son to die for us, and it was all through the grace of God that God would do that and make it so that every one of us can know Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's grace. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad we have grace. The Bible also says we're not under the law, but we're under grace. That is so positive and so true. It's so important. So, him that worketh is, it says, now to him that worketh, what is wrong with working at things? Maybe trying to get my life straightened out and try to please God with something I do and say, well, God, here I am. I did all that stuff. Why aren't you blessing me? See, that's working, try to make the things of God real in our life by doing something for God. That isn't how it happens at all. It's by listening with our ears, hearing the word of God come into our life, and accepting that truth that God has given us, and asking him to make us a child of God. And even in our life as a child of God, after we receive Christ, every single day we need to be saying, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to do whatever you want me to do. Help me now. I am not able in myself to achieve this, but I pray that you will help me now and just give me the strength to walk in with the Lord and yielding to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're going to go ahead and we'll be talking about Abraham quite a bit here. But Abraham believed in God, and God had promised him a child. And remember that he tried to help things by having a child by the handmaid. And it turned out it was kind of a backfire, wasn't it? But he got real attached to that boy. And then later on, God told him, this is not what I want. I want a child to be born of Sarah. And so it was Isaac then. So let's go to verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. To him, and that goes for girls too, to her, to him, to anyone that does not work. What does that mean? That we don't try in our own self to be good. You know, okay, from now on now, I'm going to not do that. I'm not going to do that bad thing anymore in my life. I'm going to follow the Lord. See, that's self-effort. That's saying, I'm going to really work at this, you know. But that isn't how the Lord wants it. It's, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. See, we can't do it. I'll tell you that. I can't do it. You can't do it. But when we lean on the Lord Jesus Christ and we come to him and we say, I know I need you, Lord. I need you to be in my life. I want to really walk with you, God. I really want you in my life. That's beginning to do what God wants for us, is to believe in him. And notice it says, on him that justifieth. This word is over and over, justifieth the ungodly. Justifieth, this is what it means, to render innocent, just, to be just, and to be righteous. That's what it means when it says that we are justified by grace in another part of the text. That's chapter 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been rendered because we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He writes a name in heaven. Did you know that? Our name is written in heaven as a child of God. And there beside our name is righteous. Praise the Lord. A child of God. Righteous. Oh, isn't that a beautiful thought? I just think that's wonderful. He justifies. Praise the Lord. Us. God calls a person who needs him, and he causes that one to be born again. Hallelujah. That is so beautiful. Praise the Lord. Notice what it says there. He justifieth the ungodly. Now, people that are already born again, he's already justified them. He's already rendered them as innocent and as righteous before him and as a just person. He's written their name, as I've already said. That's according to Scripture, not just according to what I'm saying. But the ungodly, that part, this is what ungodly there in our Scripture means. Irreverent. You know, unbelievers a lot of times are very irreverent. They don't care about God. They don't care what God said. Even Christians, though, can get into that kind of thing sometimes, not reverencing, being reverential toward God. It also means impious or wicked. So the unbeliever that doesn't know God is all three of those things: irreverent, impious, and they're wicked a lot of times, going about and doing the things of the world. Notice what he says. Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted. See, God is the one that does this. He's the one that renders us innocent. He's the one. And his faith, the person that is receiving this, is counted. His faith is counted for righteousness. And that word right there means credited or accounted, given it to his credit. It's the Lord in us, credited to his account. It's credited, it's counted. So what do we see? The book of the Lord, I said before, with our name written there, and by there, God wrote down, this is a believer in Christ Jesus. This person is justified. Praise the Lord. They are born again. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I love this. So, verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now, we'll just look at that for a minute. Counted, we see, David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. Praise the Lord. He brings about righteousness, as it says there, without works. And the word imputeth there means, imputeth means in the Greek, credits. He credits it to us. He esteems us as righteous, and he reckons us as righteous before God. So once you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Did you know that? I think all of you do. And it is not erased. God doesn't have a big old eraser and says, oh my goodness, right? I got to write that out. I got to take that away. No. The devil will make you think that sometimes, and maybe when you're not fully walking with God or something, you start really looking at yourself and everything like that. But listen, that is not the case. You are a child of God. Those that really walk with God and are children of God are going to receive great rewards in heaven. And others who have known the Lord but they don't fully walk with God, they'll have a place in heaven. Everybody that is born again, but it will be, you know, more as a servant to the Lord, as we find in the book of Revelation. So anyway, praise the Lord. And I want to read, let's go back to Psalm 32. That's where it says, David described this blessedness of the man that knows the Lord. Let's go back there to the book of Psalms. We're talking about David here, so we're going to read something that David wrote. And of course, it was the inspiration of the Lord with him that he read, that he did this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is 32. We're going to go back to chapter 32. Okay. Now, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. What is a transgression? I think all of you know. In the case of the Bible like this, it's sin. Sin, something we did that was not pleasing to God. But the Lord says here through David, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's exactly what happened when Christ died on the cross. When his blood was poured out on that ground, that meant salvation for whosoever will come to the Lord. They will be saved. They will be part of the church of the Lord, the body of Christ, it's called in other places. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Sin, God does not impute it to us. He doesn't say it, that word there means credit or esteem or reckon it. He doesn't say, well, I know who that guy is. He's done some bad stuff. I'm just going to write it all down here in my book. See, he does not impute that iniquity or that sin to us as a child of God, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sins. The wonderful thing is that we all sin. It's not wonderful, but that's the case. We are humans. And we have a sinful nature that's there in us. And sometimes maybe we get angry or, you know, something. It's all kinds of things to think about. But praise the Lord that we have a new life in us. As a believer in Christ, the new life of Christ is in us. And so we learn to admit our fault, just like David did. David was a great king, but he really did sin, didn't he? And yet he, in the 51st chapter, Psalms, 51st Psalm, he cried out to the Lord for forgiveness of his fault, what he had done. And you know, that's so precious, isn't it? Because that's exactly what you and I have to do. We're humans. And sometimes we don't always follow what the Lord wants, but he wants us to. As his child, he wants us to follow him and allow him to tell us what is right in our life and what is wrong in our life. And it's so precious, because when we do let the Lord have his way, there's just such a peacefulness. We're peaceful because we know we're pleasing to God. And I'm so thankful for myself for that too, that the Lord is so wonderful. Go back there to Romans 4, and we're going to read verse 7, because after we have that verse there in verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That's an important part of that verse, that it is without works. What that means is, you want to be righteous, so okay, I have to make, and I've said it before here right today, but I'm going to say it again. So okay, I have to make rules. Okay, I will not do this, I will not do that, I will not do that, I will not do that. Oh yeah, and this thing over here, I won't do that either. See, that's self-righteous. I'm taking my own strength. I am trying to overcome the things that are my faults all by myself, because, you know, I'm a good person and I can do this. I won't ask how many anybody ever did that and found out they couldn't do it. I know that. I found out I can't do it in my own strength. I have to obey God and let him do the work. Praise the Lord. So notice in verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And that's what the Lord does, because we have received the Lord Jesus as our Savior. He has given us this wonderful blessing. Praise the Lord. He has given us righteousness, and he looks down at us as his children, and he sees us. In John 1:29, that's the very first chapter of John. You don't need to turn there. It's John the Baptist that's doing the baptizing out in the river, and Jesus Christ comes there, and he saw Jesus desiring to be baptized, and this is what he said. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And that's exactly what he did. On the cross, he bore all the sins of the world. That's why the sky became black and God turned his back away from him. He was seeing this horrendous sin of the world, of all of the people. And that includes Adam and Eve, and it includes clear through the Old Testament and clear through the end of time. It was a huge, huge amount that Jesus Christ bore for us. Oh my goodness. And John there, the Baptist, recognized that this Lord Jesus who had come out to be baptized there was the Lamb of God. It was like a lamb to the slaughter, the scripture says. They took him and crucified him, one of the most horrible deaths. Before that, they beat him to death, and they pressed thorns into his head and all of the bad things. And there he was on that cross, hanging for our redemption to save us. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so wonderful. It's simple, but it's very, very wonderful. Praise the Lord. So this verse 7 that we just read a while ago. Blessed are they whose iniquities. What do you think iniquities? We understand that word. But first, let's go over the word blessed. Blessed. This is not just a little thing. It's not just saying, God saying, well, you're good. It's not like that at all. To be blessed in this way, it means supremely blessed. I want to tell you, I'm not a person that can read Greek, but I have all kinds of books that I study. And this word means supremely blessed. It means fortunate and blessed. That's how God has what he's given to us. You and I who know Jesus Christ are fortunately blessed. We could be out there not saved, not receiving Christ. And just think of that, what it would mean. It would mean hell eventually in the lake of fire. But God has given us this wonderful blessing. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, verse, praise the Lord. I get on above before myself. There in that verse 7, blessed are they whose iniquities. I want to talk about iniquities. That means wickedness or transgressions or violation of the law. In the olden time, you know, especially the Jews now today, they try to keep the law, but they don't really keep the law. But back in the time of Jesus, of course, he was perfect in the law, never did anything against God. But the other people that got saved, there still was very hard. They couldn't just keep the law. And so this is what God he's talking about here. And as I said a while ago, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Short? I'm a short person. That doesn't mean that I'm one of those who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word short in this place means inferior, and it means to be deficient, to lack, to be destitute. So when the Word of God says that those who have sinned have come short, see, they don't please God because they're not yielding to God, or they haven't given their life to Christ. And so then even though they're saved, they maybe not walk in the Spirit and let the Lord work. So to be short means they're inferior. And then it says there that the word forgiven, that's the one that we read in verse 7, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven. The word forgiven there means to lay it aside, to remit it, to have it gone. So what does the Lord do when we sin and we come to him and we say, Father, forgive me, you know, I really want to walk with you, I want to yield to you. He just takes that and lays it aside. Isn't that a beautiful thought? I just thought that was so great. He just lays it aside and he remits it. To be remitted means that he forgives it. He forgives it. He doesn't keep holding a big long list of everything that we've ever done since we were kids or whatever. He doesn't do that and just keep, you know, laying it on to us all the time. Well, I remember when you were 16. I remember when you were 18. I remember when, no, he doesn't do that. We are his children. If we know him as our Savior, we are his children. Hallelujah. He has forgiven us. Our sins are covered. Praise the Lord. They're concealed. They are forgiven. So there's a little saying, and I've said it to you before, and I'm going to stop right here. When he looks at me, when he looks at you, he sees not what he used to see when we were not saved, but he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus in you. He sees his son. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. So as you can see, I'm kind of slow, not producing a whole chapter in one time, but I wanted to emphasize the things so that we really, all of us, I hope everyone here realize what it means to be born again, to be saved, to feel that presence of the Lord all the time with us. He's so faithful. Glory to God.